Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow, wow, wow. Not to be confused with you woo. Uh-oh, somebody needs some sleep. This is Wretched Radio. It's been a little busy around here. Sorry. When you get a little weary, your ADHD seems to pick up speed, as I think we've just witnessed. Wow, 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 not woo, woo. What did that mean anyway? And you woo, 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 and you woo, 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 and you woo, woo, woo should be mine. You know, they don't write them like they did in the old days, do they? If you go back to the old days, if you long for the music of, say, the 80s, which apparently is what most pastors at megachurches seem to be fond of, listen to the lyrics. We tend to think, oh, the music these days, it's so awful compared to the old days. And you woo, 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 and you woo, woo, woo. And you woo, woo, woo should be my walk like an Egyptian. Anybody walk like an Egyptian. We are so grateful to the thousands of people who have downloaded the new Fortis Plus app.
Thousands?
After a day, it was like 5,000 folks.
Wow.
Either got the app. You can also get it on your... I don't know the lingo. I'm not of your generation. You can go to fortisplus.org. That would be the web app. There, I got it. And if you just want to get the app itself, then go to your favorite streaming place and just look for Fortis Plus. You can spell out plus, or you can just put the plus sign and you can download it. All original content, all free. Our website is fortisinstitute.org. So wow, wow, wow. Thank you, everybody. Sorry if there have been a couple of glitches. Overall, a wildly successful launch. Nothing blew up. There was no smoke, no toxic fumes. Everything went pretty much according to Hoyle, which I think is a card game. So my apologies, my fundamentalist Baptist friends. Though they make the cards, Hoyle cards, if I'm not mistaken. Did I mention we haven't had a lot of sleep around here? Todd, you don't need to. Thank you. If you're engaging with all of the free content, if you haven't already gone to Fortis Plus or fortisinstitute.org or downloaded the app, I encourage you to do so. It just warms my cold conservative heart that it is all free. All the stuff that we've been doing around here for years and so much more new stuff with so many new voices here, which, by the way, you'll be able to meet tonight. We are doing a free webinar. This is what Fortis Plus is all about, Fortis Institute. We just want to give away stuff. I love that. I love it. Bless the heart of any ministry that charges subscription fees. I ain't got no axe to grind, but I'm just so overjoyed that we get to give it away. It's thanks to the support of our gospel partners, and we have more phases, more launches, more outreaches globally, because we want to reach people with great news, not just good news, with the best news that there is. Please visit fortisplus.org or get the Fortis Plus app on your mobile device, wherever you do your media. I almost made it, Jimmy. Wherever you do your app, that's the word right there, your app business. And if you're thinking, Friel, is it going to be like this all day? I think the answer is probably. Tonight, we're going to be with all of the pastors of Fortis Institute, and we're going to talk about pastoral failure and what we do with that. And I'm so excited. I actually got my thoughts together on it last night, because each one of the pastors, Brad Bigney's going to be there, Adam Tyson, Greg Gifford, Tim Challies, And of course, Jason from here, from Fortis Institute, he's going to be hosting it. Oh, I'm forgetting somebody. I'm pretty sure of that. There'll be six or seven pastors, and we're each going to take a little idea, a question and answer about the fall of pastors that we don't think should fall. And when we get a little rocked, and I honestly, I don't think you should be a little wobbled by it. It's like, whoa, what? And so we're going to discuss it in a helpful way. And I finally got my thoughts together because these other guys, they're just so much smarter than I am. But I think that there is a long forgotten doctrine. This is not made up. This is not a new concept, but a long forgotten doctrine that I think is just what is needed for the evangelical community right now. And I can't wait to share that tonight. You can join us on that webinar, Fortis Institute. It's F-O-R-T-I-S Institute/webinar. It's free. Join us. We're going to work through those issues. And now, if you thought for a second that everything here at Wretched Radio was actually planned and prepared. Jimmy, what is this this video thing here? Is this a see, I don't even know what this is. I started watching it. I don't know. I don't think I sent this to you.
Well, I don't know what it is.
It's the BR Megachurch guest.
Yeah, you did send that to me.
Okay, but somebody sent it into Idea at Wretched. Uh-huh. I probably forwarded it to you and said, grab it.
Right.
So now I'm watching it and I'm going, is this a spoof?
It is.
Okay, there's the tragedy right there. I can't tell that it's a spoof. Because I can see this happening at an actual megachurch.
BR Guest, first-time guest, put our campus to the test. Scan the QR code and check in, and we'll spam you all the rest. Flashing lights, choking fog, we do all of this for God. Try our coffee, it is lukewarm, don't believe me, ask our intern. First we sing, then we sit, then two people yap a bit. Every Sunday experience is a hit. Go on, open your wallet and give us 10%. Be our guest. First time guest.
Okay, see, I could have figured out it wasn't a spoof there, because if a megachurch had done this, they would have auto-tuned the guy. But see, there's, you just got to listen carefully and you can tell the difference between a spoof and not a spoof.
Lights go dim, screen comes down, feel the good vibes all around. There's our pastor on the big screen from the main campus across town. Just relax and endure his misusing of scripture. I'm on staff, I'm not complaining. Our pastor is entertaining. Are we non-denomo? You bet. But we used to be Baptists. Now we're the fastest growing church in the U.S. Come on, become a member. We'll do life together. Be our guest. If you're stressed, volunteer and serve, I suggest. Be our guest. First time guest.
Oh, that hurts. Because it's so accurate, isn't it? What was the church I just saw on the website? Oh, I know why I saw it. Oh, this was grand. I was at the G3 website. They've got an app over there, don't they? I know Living Waters just launched theirs. Mm-hmm. This is exciting, y'all. I hope that the Living Waters app is just crushing it. G3 too. Because the more good stuff, the better. From more people, the better. And I was at the G3 site and an ad popped up. Which maybe the Virgil and Josh need to know about over there at G3. And it was for a church in Alpharetta. That's our town. And it said, looking for a Bible teaching church. And it's like, yeah, I'd like to hear about that, because I know the only ones. It's like, who are you people? Guess what? It was a Hillsong church. Mm. In a Bible teaching church. And guess who the pastors are? They happen to be related because it's husband and wife. So if you are teaching the Bible, apparently you can't read 1 Timothy 2 very well, because that seems to be pretty clear. If you are a Bible-teaching church, could I just encourage you? I am not a prognosticator of church growth, but the day of mega churches, as the attitude of America becomes, let's just say, at best, tepid toward Christianity, I don't think squishy. There's some big, good mega churches, by the way. I think of Mike Fabara's church in Orange County, Compass Bible Church, obviously Grace Community Church, Nine Marks. Well, Nine Marks. What's the Mark Devers Church in Washington, D.C.? But it's not that huge.
Capitol Hill
Baptist. Yeah, but that's not like a huge church because of the building size. After all, it is in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine the taxes they'd have to pay on that and probably will have to if Kamala wins? These mega churches overall, though, I think they're on the downslope because they're not worth it. If this does not advance me at work, if this does not enhance my social status, if this does not provide for me enough relationship building, networking with other people in order to improve my livelihood, I think they're going down in the numbers that we have seen. The churches that are growing are the ones that are Bible-based. So be encouraged. And pastor, be Bible-based, be loving. And if you go out of business, well, then at least you went out of business for the right reasons. This is Wretched Radio. So you aren't convinced of the importance of training godly men to rightly divide the word of truth in churches internationally? Well, then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
You have to support men who are elder qualified proclaimers of the word. When we support a man coming out of TMAI, we know not only that he is properly trained, but we know that he will still be supervised.
Would you please join TMAI, the Master's Academy International, in advancing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ through expository preaching in local churches around the globe. It's a magnificent ministry and it's so important. Please consider partnering with TMAI at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for supporting indigenous pastors around the world.
Marriage and parenting, they're beautiful gifts from God, are they not? But let's be honest, they're also challenging. In this world that we're living in right now, many families are struggling just to survive. But what if you and your family could truly thrive? Introducing Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, a new production from Fortis Institute. Pastor Brad Bigney brings over 30 years of pastoral experience and 36 as a biblical counselor to help your family flourish. With Thrive, you'll discover how marriage can be more than just a legal status. It can be a living billboard for the gospel. Whether you're newlyweds, busy parents, or empty nesters, Thrive offers biblical insight to revolutionize your home life. Pastor Brad Bigney doesn't just offer quick fixes. He applies the wisdom of God's word to your daily walk, helping you build a family that, again, doesn't just survive, it thrives. Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now at fortisinstitute.org or the Fortis Plus app. fortisinstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a cold wind a-blowing. This is Wretched Radio. Two articles. I actually had three, but cut it down to two articles from different sources that indicate, I sure hope not, but seem to indicate there's a cold wind a-blowing from university campuses. For years, we have been going to university campuses. And increasingly over the last, say, 5 years, I've noticed things are different on the campus. I know Charlie Kirk, he goes to the campuses and he gets the kids all agitated. And of course, he destroys those punks. But I don't think that's the majority. I think the majority of kids on university campuses are trying to figure it out. And if your church is near a campus, get to it and help them figure it out. They will listen. They will engage. And I think the opposite tact is to go confront these idiots for believing what they do and not understanding the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They're most of them, not all of them, most of them, not antagonistic. They're the polar opposite. Feed me, help me, lead me, talk to me. I don't know what's going on. And I sure hope that these articles don't indicate that we could be shut out of campuses. There's another observation about these articles that I'm really reticent. Yes, I'm reticent to talk about because for years we've been talking about Gen Zs. And I do not like the pejoratives that have been used about them. But if these articles are indicative of the mindset of whatever percentage of Gen Zers, oh, this is a generation. They are fragile. I don't think they should be mocked, and it's certainly not true of all of them. But these articles indicate, ooh, tender. And Jimmy, did I share this the other day talking about why I think that so many kids are so offended, not just by opposing worldviews, but probably predominantly by their parents who will correct them or try to tell them you're doing it wrong or that you should think like this? And I was wondering, well, why is that? How does that develop? And I know that there are messages on the internet, TikTok, et cetera, that scream at kids, your parents are morons, jettison them, run away from them. Those exist. The sitcoms, they support that, Dagwood Bumstead dads all over the place. And the kids just, you know, they're filled with all the wisdom and the parents are just fuddy-duddies and dopey. But I think it's more than that. I think that our cell phones, they create a bubble. And there's only one individual inside of that protective cocoon, and it's me. And I'm doing everything I want. I'm looking at anything that I want for as many seconds as I do or don't want to watch this. And it's all about self. It's all about autonomy. It isn't enduring. It's not putting up with. It is not having to have patience with somebody who wants to watch something else. I control this thing. I experienced this years ago. I remember this rather vividly. I was driving. I had to drive a bit of a distance. And I was in the car by myself. I think it was Greenville, if I'm not mistaken. It was like an up and down sort of affair. And I had my cell phone and the Spotify and that stuff, and a song would come on, flip. Song would flip. I like that one. Okay, no, I've heard that one before. Next. And when I got out of my car after like an hour and a half of just me music, I was kind of agitated with everybody on the planet. Hey, what are you doing in my world? And I think that's true, perhaps even to a greater degree with our cell phones. That's our device. Don't touch it. Get your hands off of my cell phone. And I program this thing. I have the apps I want, specifically the Fortis Plus app. I have the music that I want. I watch the videos that I want. It feeds me what I want. It tells me the stories that I want to hear, the ads of products I am inclined to use. And I think it just makes us all these autonomous beings that just get annoyed when somebody interferes with it. And we don't need another generation. We don't need another generation. We've got the Gen Z generation who grew up on cell phones. At least through their teenage years, they had their little self device. And I think it has caused them, not everybody, but I think it's caused them to indeed have hypersensitivity toward anybody who doesn't agree with 100% of everything, whether it is a belief, a worldview, or a whim. If you are not in alignment or you confront me on it, that is devastating. Let's go to these articles, shall we? Number one, this is from DailyTrojan.com. It's time to put a stop to religious proselytizing on campus. Whoa. This is kind of the John Kerry. You know, that First Amendment thing. It's got limitations. Actually, it doesn't. It doesn't have them. You get to say stupid things. You get to say offensive things. That's the whole point. It's sort of like Romans 13. If we didn't need to be told to submit to the government, then it wouldn't be in there. But we need to be told. Why? Because governments, they're men and women that are sinful. And they do things that agitate. And they do things that annoy. And we need to be responding to them biblically, a posture of submission, recognizing there are indeed exceptions, jurisdictional realm of authority, and being Acts chapter 5. They can't command us to do what Jesus says don't do and vice versa. They can't command us to not do what Jesus says do. But we need Romans 13. We need that. And the same thing is true with the First Amendment. We need it because people are going to say things we don't like. That's the whole point. If everybody just said wonderful things about everybody, we wouldn't need a First Amendment. But people disagree. Attempting to convert others to one's own religion is a violation of personal rights and should be prohibited on college campuses. There it is. And that's scary. While we must learn to respect people of all beliefs, students should not be subjected to harassment by those who believe their worldviews are wrong. Did you catch that? Harassment equals, I don't think you're right. That's it. And I can say it with a smile on my face, and it makes no never mind, because that's considered harassment. And I think this generation genuinely thinks that it is, because I think that that's the way that they've been wired. Not only does campus proselytizing transgress students' boundaries, it also violates the word of God. They don't say how. And should therefore be heavily advised against. That's one article. Here's another article. If you're proselytizing on campus, don't harass students. Now, what is harassment? In CUIndependent.com, they give a number of examples. Now, we know this. There are some preachers that go to university campuses that shouldn't, and I wish they wouldn't. They're terrible. They're terrible. And I think they're out of step with the times, personally. But that's not what this article talks about. It gives a number of anecdotes of people who have, I'll just read it for you. CU, that's Colorado University, Colorado Boulder University, freshman, said that a man stopped his car by his dorm and offered him a ride to church. He said no, in part because he felt uncomfortable at being rashly approached from a vehicle. He also said he felt angry because this man intended to make him feel guilty at rejecting his offer for religious conversion. Now, I don't know the details of that, and I sure wouldn't pull up to a stranger and say, "Get in my car, I'll take you to church." We don't have those details, but did you hear it? He intended to make me feel guilty, and that's a big no-no. Another freshman reported she didn't feel harassed, but her walk back to the residence hall was disruptive when a random woman approached her. I'm walking to my dorm. If you interrupt me, harassment. How did that happen? It's not in their DNA. I think it's in their diet. She continued. The woman posed a personal question. Here it is. Do you believe in God? Why is that a personal question? Do you know how to get to Taco Bell? That's a personal question. She felt her personal space was invaded, and that if she had stayed, she would have felt uncomfortable about her personal choice to not be religious. Feeling uncomfortable is very painful, and it is not, I think, an observation that provides us with fodder for mockery. I think we've cooked these kids, and we're seeing the product of the recipe of a worldview that includes a social diet. And it's not just the videos they watch. It's the device itself that is creating this inside of kids. Whether she felt immediately offended or not, the woman criticized the woman's identity in an environment where that shouldn't occur. Let's hope that that cold wind doesn't turn into a tropical storm cat 4 hurricane or something, because it would be a pity if we were not allowed to go to campuses to reach kids that I know want to talk to you. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our top story today comes out of the state of Maryland, where a federal judge has told the University of Maryland that they have to let a pro-Palestinian group hold a rally on October 7th. What's October 7th? Well, that's the day Hamas attacked Israel last year. The judge says that if pro-Israel groups think that date's important, well, then pro-Palestinian crowds can think it's important, too. Look, I'm not the one to stifle free speech, even if I don't agree with it, but calling something a free speech event that celebrates a terrorist attack, I'm pretty sure that's not the same thing. And to the Republic of California we go now, where Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill that lets folks light up in what they're calling cannabis cafes. Customers in these cafes can buy marijuana and stick around for a meal, or even catch a live show on. Yes, it's good they have the snacks already there, but does California really need more people walking around in a haze? Now to Arkansas, where the state is suing YouTube. Why? Well, the state is saying the platform has caused a mental health crisis among youth. And it's not that I totally disagree with that, but I think blaming YouTube for your kids' issues is like blaming the TV for gaining 30 pounds. It's just not computing, at least not to me. To New York now, where a federal judge has put a stop to the state trying to censor pro-life talk about abortion pill reversal. The ruling protects pregnancy centers from threats of prosecution under the state's false advertising law. Yeah, as it turns out, the First Amendment also covers saving lives. And there's a new report showing a troubling connection between corrupt governments and Christian persecution abroad. The study from International Christian Concern looked at 21 countries and found that places with lots of corruption tend to give Christians a hard time. The study cites examples in Afghanistan, Nigeria, and China, and likely soon enough, America. But as we tell you frequently around here, please keep our persecuted brothers and sisters in your prayers. Some good news comes out of Boise State University. A coffee shop owner has been awarded $4 million after she was pushed off campus for supporting the police. Sarah Finley is her name. She's the owner of Big City Coffee. She was forced to leave in 2020 because she displayed pro-police flags. A jury awarded her $3 million for business losses and another $1 million in punitive damages. Looks like the silent majority finally found its voice. Good for her. And finally, let's end with a heartwarming story coming out of South Carolina, which is going through a pretty rough time right now. A dedicated dad, David Jones, walked 30 miles through Hurricane Helene debris to walk his daughter down the aisle. He left Boiling Springs at 7:30 p.m. for what should have been a two-hour drive, but ended up trekking all night through storm debris and mud. That's what I call going the extra mile, or in this case, 30 of them. And that's been today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're looking for a sound effect, we've got them. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to hear Dr. John Krotz. If you have not yet received the streaming app for free, known as Fortis Plus, you can spell it out. You can use the plus symbol, F-O-R-T-I-S. There are now five podcasts from dudes that are theologically sound and exceedingly pastoral. Integrated is the podcast that is hosted by John Krotz. And by the way, if you want to, you can always go to Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever, and just find the individual podcasts, or you can get our app there too, Fortis Plus. Dr. John Krotz hosts Integrated, moving theology from head to heart. I just listened, Jimmy at the gym, to the first episode. Let me just say this. It did not help me to lift more weight. It wasn't like listening to rock and roll and getting pumped up, man, because he's so agitatingly nice is what he is. Isn't he?
Oh, his tone is remarkable.
You're going to hear that. This is what we're calling here at Fortis Institute, hot takes. These are the guys. They're sitting in their office, their houses. Adam Tyson, he's like bopping all over. He's like, why does he have bunk beds behind him? I think he's in his kid's bedroom for probably the only quiet place he could find in the house. And these guys are just talking. And he's going to share with you a hot take underneath his field of expertise, which is moving theology from head to heart. It's called Integrated.
I just finished reading an article called Theology Without a Heart.
That's all he said. One sentence. I just finished reading an article called Theology Without a Heart. And just listening to him, I feel like I'm a great big meanie. Man, this guy.
Four Signs of Dead Orthodoxy by Pastor Ryan Denton. And it was found on Desiring God's website. Dead orthodoxy is such an important topic. It's so relevant. And I appreciate Ryan's efforts here to describe it and warn against it and even give some prescription towards it. I found it to be a little intriguing. It's such an important topic. I think we know what the issue is, right? You don't just want to have the Bible in your head and not in your heart.
Amen.
And he has some wonderful quotes in here by Lloyd Jones and others.
By the way, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight on the free webinar, FortisInstitute.com/webinar. John Krotz will be there. I forgot Greg Gifford. Oh, the shame. We should just have a closet with sackcloth and ashes available for the gaffes here at Wretched Radio. He'll be joining us. Other pastors will be joining us to talk about why pastors fall. And more important, we're not going to get into the details of the individual pastors that we all know about. That's certainly not the point, but it is to learn from it. And it is to guard our own hearts so that we don't experience it ourselves. And I actually think this is one of the key issues. I don't know if John is going to touch on this tonight or not, but I am. There's a disconnect for many of us. You got your head, got your heart, and ne'er the twain meet when it comes to your Christian faith. And that is what is, I think, a pretty decent definition of dead orthodoxy. I know it, I do it, I practice it, but I don't live it. And I certainly don't feel it, and I'm not guided by it, and I'm not curbed by it. I think that's dead orthodoxy, and I'll be talking about that tonight. FortisInstitute.com/webinar, 9 p.m. Eastern.
But it's difficult to define it precisely. And I think that was a little bit of a challenge because he was saying, well, sometimes you're not even saved and you understand the Bible, and that's dead orthodoxy. Certainly, I think that that's very relevant, and that could be a true thing. But I know my burden is for believers who just have their heads filled with truth, and they're not putting it into practice. It's not affecting their heart, and it's not affecting their life. And I'm sure Ryan would say the same thing as well. Ultimately, he gives four signs of dead orthodoxy: smug contentment, dislike of enthusiasm, pining for social acceptance, denial of the miraculous.
Please go into it, John, please.
And I think all of those are valid and true. They tend not to be the thing I may have come up with myself. If I was writing an article like this, I think about seminarians. I know when I was in seminary, you just got to study the Bible so much. It was such a joy and delight. If you've been to a good, healthy seminary, it is so formative.
You went to master's, Sam.
I had the privilege of studying at the master's seminary.
I said that, John.
And then at Southern Seminary in Louisville. And the professors loved the Lord, and they loved the Bible, and they were giving their lives to pour it into us. The problem was, if you didn't have the capacity to handle it, you were just drinking from the fire hose. And there was so much truth, it became so important to make sure you were doing your study devotionally, making sure the truth of God's word was still affecting your heart and you weren't just trying to pass a test or something like that.
This might be helpful. What he just said, I think those two words, study devotionally. There are tips and there are hints and there are hacks that can help you do that. But I think if you just keep those two words in mind when you're reading your Bible, you're doing your quiet time, I'm going to study devotionally. And if you let those two words ring, then I think that you're not going to need a lot of help doing that. You're just going to do it. You're going to think on it longer. You're going to consider the implications. It was Mike. It was, okay, Sunday morning at a place, a really good church, just discovered it, Alpharetta Bible Church. So Mike, Pastor Mike, who, by the way, is also a Master Sem grad, was teaching Sunday school, and it was the theology of David according to the Psalms. And he kept doing something that we can so quickly forget it. I'm going to say what he was doing, and you're going to go, yeah, I've heard that before. But my question would be, but do you do that? Ask the question, what does this tell us about our God? What does this tell us about our God? You keep asking that question, and you will be indeed studying devotionally.
And certainly that can be true of you. If you're just studying the Bible, maybe you have a great opportunity to teach a lesson or something like that, and you're just all into the details. You've got to make sure that this is affecting your heart. I think about the wonderful words in Psalm 19. Toward the end, after he talks about how great creation is and how it reveals God to us, but God's special revelation, the Word of God, reveals God even more powerfully. He says this in Psalm 19, verse 10, "More to be desired are they," that is the commands of God, "than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." We're just coming off of a season of the Olympics. We love it when that comes around, but everybody's after the gold medal, right? You train all those years, you want the gold. Well, here the psalmist says that the word of God should be more desired to us than gold, even much fine gold, the best of the best. May it be that our hearts are warmed by the truth we are engaging with. I think of James' wonderful words there, as he reminds us in James 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Oh boy, it's so important for us to love the Bible and to put it into practice. At the end of this article, Pastor Ryan gives some warnings again for the unbeliever. You need to come to Christ. And then he talks about people that are a little bit dull. And he reminds us of Jesus' words in Revelation 3:2 to the church of Sardis that they need to wake up. They need to be revised. And of course, that's a wonderful admonition for us. If you find your heart cold when you're reading the scripture, seek the Lord, the author of scripture, and ask him to revive your heart through God's word.
And then study devotionally. Did you catch the four? One of them screamed at me. There were four reasons that people can be cold or just not as enthusiastic as they once were. Or it has simply become an academic study, an academic endeavor, but it's not the motivating force in your life. The one that jumped out at me was something like, I'm paraphrasing, that you are kind of like, when it comes to enthusiastic worship. Does that describe you? You see those people maybe jumping up and down, hands up, and you go, oh, okay. Uh-oh, what could be the implication of that? Next on Wretched Radio. You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, the winds of change, they are up on us. In this country, the perception of Christianity has shifted from positive to negative. But at Fortis Institute, we refuse to be silent. We have grown from Gospel Partners Media to now Fortis Institute. Why? Well, because Fortis means strong. It means steadfast. It means resolute. Exactly what's needed in this brave new world. We're expanding our mission too. Todd's no longer a one-man show. We have added 8 new powerful voices to equip you and your local church to thrive in these challenging times. But we can't do it alone. This is our boldest move yet, and we need you. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? It's your support that will help us produce resources, curriculums, podcasts, and more. Join us today. Become a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, a secular university without the, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Mexican. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God.
the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The doctor is in. He's prepared to see you, and this might hurt a little bit. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John Krotz, he's one of our new fellows here at Fortis Institute. You can visit fortisinstitute.org. You can see him tonight on our free webinar. We're going to be discussing fallen pastors. It's a group of pastors talking about fallen pastors, what we can learn, how we can perhaps identify things in ourselves that perhaps caused the tumble of some really great and godly men. We can learn from these heartbreaks, and we're going to tonight. It's free. Fortis Institute/webinar. Dr. John Krotz will be there, and I'm going to be talking about the issue that he just addressed in what we call hot takes. And these are short videos that you can get for free. We want to send these to you every day. So if you've already signed in to get all of our free stuff, we're going to be every day, we're going to be sending you the new stuff every single day. Free. You just click it and off you go. And Dr. John Krotz was just doing one of his hot takes on an article that he read about four signs of dead orthodoxy. And a couple of these jumped out at me. And I think that we need to take them seriously, especially if you perhaps, if I asked you to please chart out your day and tell me how many hours you spent exercising your Christian faith. I'll ask you right now, what would it look like? What would you write if from wake up to the end of it, before you shut your eyes to go to sleep? Tell me about how many minutes, how many hours you spent exercising your Christian faith. What would you say? And if the answer wasn't, well, every minute of every day is about my Christian faith, because that's what everything is about. We're not panentheists. God isn't literally in everything, but he's in everything. He's not omnipresent, like inside of this pen that I'm holding in my right hand, but he's all about, this pen is about him. The desk that I'm standing at, it's about him. Everything is about him. You can't escape your Christian faith. I think the issue is that you're simply failing to remember that God is in and about everything. And I do think that in this little test that we're about to take, four signs of dead orthodoxy, there are some things that perhaps impede and maybe put a roadblock between our head and our heart. Dr. John Krotz is all about it. His podcast is called Integrated. That's exactly what he focuses on. So pastoral, so helpful. And he used this article from Ryan, my man.
Ryan Denton.
Thank you. I said that. I know Ryan better than you. So Ryan, the man.
Yeah. That's
you had to give his last name. We all know that. Four signs of dead orthodoxy. Is it possible this is maybe why there's a disconnect? Or is it possible this is why you're not as warm as you once were? You do the examination on you. I'll do my own self-examination. Number one, smug contentment. Smug contentment. Most likely, you're not going to be able to identify that in yourself. You're going to need your local church. You're going to need your spouse. You're going to need your kids. Smug contentment. I pretty much have this figured out. And I certainly have it figured out better than fill in the blank denomination, fill in the blank Christian expression. Does that maybe describe you? And here's why I think that that might cause a little bit of flatness in our walk. I know that the road is narrow that leads to life. We know that because Jesus said so. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. I get that. But if I'm of the opinion that the only people who are going to go to heaven, they check every single one of my theological boxes, and if they don't, well, good luck with that. I think that's going to rob you of experiencing the joy of the bigness of the body of Christ. No, I'm not talking about sub-orthodox expressions of Christianity. I'm just saying that I really think that I've got this sorted. I do. I think I got this figured out. And if I had my druthers, you should believe exactly the way that I do. And if I think that that's the only way that somebody can be saved, please note, I'm not talking about essential doctrines here, but I'm talking about being smug in my rightness. I think it's going to rob you of joy. And it's probably going to make us all kind of ugly, cold, loving, suspicious even. Number two, dislike of enthusiasm. Okay, that clubbed me because in fact, we've joked about it here. When we were putting together the new website, then you got to put together the thumbnails and all of that. And if you go to almost any Big Eva type website, you're going to see pictures of people in worship. Go to a church, go to a mega church website, you're going to see it. The hands are up in the air. And we've kind of joked about it here. Look at that. Yeah, there you go. The old hands up in the air. Hold on a second. Is it a crime? Is it a sin to put your hands up in the air? Now, I know most of the time it's manipulated enthusiasm. I get it, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about my response to it. Something interesting happened at Alpharetta Bible Church. I'm trying to figure out a way to weave this into the sermon because I haven't crossed the bridge of being able to go away from the text to make some sort of a comment about the life of our body, because I don't think that that's what the sermon is supposed to be. I'll maybe get over that, but we were singing. It was an oldie, and I mean the 90s. I think it was You Are My All in All. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Mm. And to my left, I saw Joe. I was getting married to Olga. How fun. I get to do their wedding. I get to see him later today, too. And he put his hands up. They didn't go up high. They didn't go above his shoulders, but there they were. His hands were up. Do I think he was putting on a show? Absolutely not. I think he was trying to express his love for his Savior with his body. And that is a way we can worship God, isn't it? There is a difference between standing and praying, sitting and praying, and kneeling and praying, and totally abasing yourself face down on the ground, isn't there? It speaks. And so does our posture in worship. And I would say that as long as your church is doing the service decently and in order, and it's not turning into an ecstatic fest where we're all just jumping around and chest bumping, I can't come with a verse that says, don't you dare do that. And I'm wondering, maybe is my dislike of seeing people who are enthusiastic about worship indicative of something that's going on inside of my heart that I need to figure out, sort out, and get out? Because it's why should I see? I understand why. Because we, you know, it's so ridiculous. It's a big room and the lights dim and the worship leader comes out on stage and, hey everybody, how you doing? And then they start the synthesizer and boom, everybody's hands go up in the air and you just go, oh please, come on. I mean, we see people doing that at a Taylor Swift concert. They do that at football games now. And yeah, it's a way to express yourself, but where's it coming from? So I get it. We see that and it's kind of like, blah, it's phony. Well, okay. But what I saw over my left shoulder Sunday ago wasn't phony. It's genuine. And expressing ourselves like that, we should see people in our church if they do that, and we should go, that is so encouraging. Look at how they're expressing their... See, that's why the admonition of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do you know how we're supposed to do those? To each other. That we encourage each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because when you're singing in church, you should be encouraging somebody who can hear you. That's right, they hear you. And they're encouraging you. You hear them, and it's like, these are people who love Jesus Christ. These are people whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ, and they're willing to sing, and they ain't good at it. And they're willing to do it anyway. I'm so encouraged by this. And I think the same thing is true with seeing people who are, look, I'm not talking about breakdancing here. That's an Olympic sport. It's not for church. But I am saying that I shouldn't be repulsed by an enthusiastic expression of worship. Why would I be? I know the abuses of it. I get it. But I shouldn't be. I should be encouraged by it. And I should maybe even be challenged by it. Why don't I do that? Is it embarrassment? I have to confess, I've never been a hand raiser type. I've just never been I don't know that this is an excuse. It's just not natural for me putting my hands up. I can see John Piper's hand in the air. I can just see it because he's got smaller hands and his hands bend backward, like his fingers go backwards and they get, and you know, they're like really expressive palms. If there is such a thing, I just don't find myself being comfortable doing that. So maybe I won't ever, but I shouldn't be turned off by it. Pining for social acceptance, denial of the miraculous. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm not talking about signs and wonders, but that God does indeed do miracles. If that kind of makes you go, maybe you want to go digging in that dirt to discover if that could possibly be the source of your dead orthodoxy. And until tomorrow, see you tonight. Go serve your king.